today, as we are talking here, there's a war going on in the Middle East as the American, the British troops and the other coalition partners of the United States are fighting a battle against an evil regime of Saddam Hussein. And I thought that I would teach something, preach something that is very relevant to this subject. And that is Islam from a Christian perspective. I have been studying on a different subject this whole week, but last night I was burdened to speak on this subject, so this morning I woke up around 5 o'clock and I've been studying till about 10 o'clock in the morning. For about 5 hours, I've been really concentrating on this subject, because I believe, as Christians, we should not be ignorant in other religions. Since 9/11, the religion of Islam has come to the spotlight, even to the American home. Suddenly, people are hearing about Islam. And also, as you see, there are many American sympathizers for the religion of Islam. And we know, even people who are Americans have a lot of sympathy for Islam. And if you know that yesterday a grenade was thrown and some of our troops were seriously they were injured, and everybody thought it was a suicidal terrorist attack, and found out it was an American soldier who did that. And it is okay to be injured from the enemy, but it is not okay to be injured by your own people. And of course, they found out this person is a Muslim. And we know that there is a tremendously people are thinking, what is Islam? It's kind of getting more popularized. But as Christians, we should not be ignorant of Islam, and we should not live in a bubble. We don't want to hear anything about that. We need to listen to only to the Bible, but we need to have an open mind and have a knowledge on other religions so we can defend Christianity at all costs. A good example is Apostle Paul. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17, Apostle Paul, how he engaged with different philosophers, and he knew how to defend Christianity, because we are living. We, of course, we come to the fellowship and have church here, but when we go outside, we don't live in our own bubble. We are always engaged with different people. Okay? We are always among with all kinds of people who believe in different ideologies, different philosophies, different religions. So as Christians, we are to be a light to them and witness to them and evangelize them. So how can we know, how can we do that if we don't have an understanding of their beliefs? The best way to attack your enemy is to know your enemy well. Apostle Paul in the book of Acts here, starting from verse 18, chapter 17, 18, then certain Epicureans... No, let's start from verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. So here Apostle Paul goes to the marketplace and he reasoned with the people on what their beliefs are. In verse 18 says, then in certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? And others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And then, verse 19, and they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, therefore we want to know what these things mean. And verse 21, all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. And here we see a great opportunity for Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while he was preaching, they thought, what are these strange things this person is saying? We want to know what you have to say in your doctrine. And verse 28, starting from verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Here Paul is, in his sermon, he gives this. Then verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets has said, for we are also his offspring. Here he quotes Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, their own poets have said, Apostle Paul used their own philosophy to show them the gospel. How does Paul know their philosophy? Unless Paul studied. Now, that's why as Christians, we should not be ignorant about other religions. To talk to a Jehovah's Witness, we need to know what they believe. To talk to a Mormon, you should know what they believe. To talk to a Hindu, you should know what they believe. In the same way, you talk to a Muslim person, you need to know what they believe. Now, Islam, you see the history. What I'm going to show you is a very summary of Islam. It's not going to be very in-depth, okay? Just a nutshell, alright? Because if you can go on and on Islam if you really want to go very deep. Islam is a religion. It comes from the Arabic word salama, means to be devoted to God or submitted to God. Muslim or Muslim is a person who believes in Islam. Now, there are a lot of people who are in Islam religion. Now, there's a very interesting connection between the Arabs and the Jews. You remember, Ishmael in the Bible was Abraham's oldest son, and by Hagar the concubine. Now, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 16:1. Genesis 16:1. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Now remember how God told Abraham, out of your own seed will come the Messiah. Remember that? You know, and the promised seed, he will come from Abraham's own seed. From his own body will come. But Abraham is getting older and older and older. And Sarah is getting older and older. Now Sarah, she had a maidservant whose name was Hagar. Verse 2, and Sarah said to Abraham, see, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. And Sarah said, you know what? I don't think this is going to happen. Maybe the promised seed will come through Hagar. That's not exactly what God said. Remember, God told who? Sarah will come.
Sarah will bear a child to Abraham.
But here, Abraham listened to the wife. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. After Abraham and dwelt had dwelt in 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went to Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And here again we see the story. How? The woman taking the authority over the husband. And the husband is become, how the husband became submitted to the woman again. Just like Genesis, what happened in the sin. And what happened when that happened? Big problems, right? Disaster, the result. And we know that the later scriptures in the Bible, we know that Ishmael had 12 sons who became the founders of the Arab tribes and the colonies and the race. The Ishmaelites spread over the wide desert spaces to the northern Arabia and to the Red Sea and all that nation, and came the Arab race through Ishmael. Remember, when Joseph, when his brothers wanted to kill him, put him in a dungeon, and suddenly they saw some merchants coming. Who were they? Ishmaelites. Yes. Remember that? So they went to Egypt. Now, the founder of Islam is, they call Prophet Muhammad, who is the founder of Islam religion. The name Muhammad means highly praised. He founded the Islam religion in the 7th century when he was about 40 years old. He had a lot of visions and revelations to preach. And Islam, from Muhammad, it began to grow. Today, there are over 1 billion believers of Islam in the world. And it is one of the fastest growing religions in the world. It began in the Middle East and spread towards East Asia, in Indonesia, you know, Malaysia, Singapore, even in the southern Philippines, and to Europe and North America. Now, a lot of people say the largest Muslim population is in the Middle East. Wrong. The largest Muslim population is in Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, and Nigeria. Because in the Middle East, you don't find a larger population. In Indonesia, they have the highest population when it comes to the density of population. There are 14 to 17 million Muslims who live in Europe. In South America, the largest Muslim country is Suriname. There are about 15% of the population in Suriname, in South America, they are Muslims. There are 400,000 Muslims in Canada. Islam, now you can see from this perspective, Europe has about 14 to 17 millions of Muslims in, that is including France, Germany, Russia, and all those countries. And also we see in Canada, a lot of Muslims there. And when you see that, you may be able to see a picture of why many countries were against this war. They were the French, Europeans, Canada, and the others. It's very clear there's a large Muslim population in those countries. It's very interesting. Now, Islam, from its inception, is political as well as religious. It's a movement. This religion is embedded with the culture of Islam, and they are inseparable. Christianity is different. It is because in Christianity, is not embedded to the culture of the American people. But Islam is embedded to the culture of it's the culture of these nations. So it is very difficult to separate them, and also it is political. Now, Islam does not have a religion apart from its political history. Do you know that over 80,000 U.S. foreign exchange students are Muslims? 80,000 foreign exchange students here in the United States, they are Muslims. Now, why is it that there is always some kind of turmoil, always in the Middle East area, in the Arab countries? Do you know that within the Islam religions, there are so many millions of Arabs have killed each other? You know, they within themselves have killed other millions of Arabs have killed each other. And why is it that? You know, the war against Iraq and Iran, and Arabs themselves have a lot of the conflicts within each other, and they will kill each other too. Now, why is it that? If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 16, I want to show you a great, fascinating, amazing scripture that was prophesied. Genesis 16, verse 12. Starting from verse 11. Let's start from verse 10. Let's start from verse 1. No, sorry. Okay, Genesis 16:10. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, this is the angel of the Lord talking to Hagar, okay, said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they will not be counted, for multitude. Now, this is how the Arab race came, okay? From Ishmael came the Arab race, and they are going to be multiplied exceedingly. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hands against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Wow. See, the Arab nations, they are always together, dwelling in the presence of the brethren. And they also say, he shall be a wild man. And amazingly, this prophecy signifies that the quarrelsome, the temper, and the warlike disposition of the Arab people. Now, there are different sects within Islam. There are some Muslims who are more peaceful, right? They are usually the merchants, the business people, you know. Those peaceful people are not really followers of the Quran. Okay? It's very interesting. Alright? Then there are some who are very aggressive. And there are some who are very aggressive. They are more like the Shiites. There are a group called Shiites. They are more peaceful people. Then the group called Sunnites, or Sunni, they are more tradition people of, they really follow Prophet Muhammad. Then also we see the jihad, which is called a holy war against all the unbelievers. Now let me tell you, the people who are peaceful, Muslim people, they are not against aggressive type of people who will kill other people and who will try to evangelize Muslim religion. They are more peaceful. They want to be in a peaceful way. Well, these people really do not study and read the Quran to the very letter. And they do not really trust and obey the Quran. Alright? They are more like the nominal Christians today who never study the Bible. But they will go to their mosque as a tradition. And they will pray as a tradition. But they are not really people who diligently study the Quran. But the people who really diligently study the Quran are the people who are like Sunni type Muslims. They are more diligently study the Quran, and they really follow what the Quran says. That's why there is a jihad, which is called a holy war against all the unbelievers, because the Quran explains about that. This is, I'm going to quote some scriptures of Quran today. According to the Quran, says God has bought from the faithful their selves and their belongings against the gift of paradise. They fight in the way of Allah. They kill and get killed. That is a promise binding on Allah. They are radical Muslims who follow every scripture in the Quran, and they are the Muslims who trust not the Bible but the Quran. Quran promotes, what is the Quran? Quran is their scripture. Okay, I will come to that later, what they believe. Quran promotes fighting for the cause of evangelism. Also, let me give you another quote here. According to the Quran, if a Muslim does not go to war, Allah will kill him. He is to be told the heat of war is fierce, but more fierce is the heat of hell and fire. Another quote. Allah loves those who fight for this cause. Anyone who fights against Allah or renounces Islam in favor of another religion shall be put to death. That's why in Christianity, if somebody is found to be reading a Bible in the Middle East, they will be put to death, right? And they will be put to death, crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off. The Quran also instructs not to make friendship with Jews and Christians, but to war against them. When the sacred months are over, kill those who ascribe patterns to God, whosoever you find them. Seize them, encompass them, and ambush them. Then if they repent, observe prayer, and pay the alms, let them go their way. Here we see Quran. That's why these people, radical Muslims, they really read this, and it is in their scripture, and they want to follow what it says. They want to be obedient to the Quran. And they say, if we fight for Allah, and if we follow the Quran according to their scripture, they will go to heaven. No wonder the terrorists, from our perspective, who would just commit a suicide bombing, huh? It is absurd. It doesn't mean anything. But for them, there's a cause for that. Because according to them, they need to kill the unbelievers. And they themselves will go to paradise. Now, of course, we hear sometimes Quran is a peaceful book. Of course it's not. That's not what the Quran says. A lot of things in the Quran talks about war. And if you see about Muslim religion, Islam religion, is a religion with a sword. That's how they conquered, they came to Europe, with a sword. On the other hand, Jesus never told his followers to kill those who do not repent. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey, observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Also, we know in Christianity, says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Jesus also said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, of course, this scripture, I heard a lot of people telling about this. They quote this scripture and they say, you know, your American president is supposed to be a Christian, but how can he wage war against Iraq? This scripture is talking, when Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, this scripture is talking to individuals, not to nations
as a group.
In the Old Testament, we see God allowed Israel to destroy different nations. Now, Muhammad is the last prophet according to Islam. Now, Islam, how do they get this? They believe in the Deuteronomy 18:18. But if you go to Deuteronomy 18:18, let's turn to Deuteronomy 18:18. Now, the Quran, they believe some of the portions of the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? Deuteronomy 18:18 says, for I will raise up a prophet like you from among their brethren. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Now, according to Islam, they believe this is Muhammad. Okay? Now, why we want to give this study is there are so many people who will be listening to this tape, alright, will be deceived by the religion of Islam. So we want to show them the context of the scripture. Now go to verse 19, and it says here, and it shall be that whosoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Verse 20, but the prophet who presumes to speak of a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of another god or other gods, that prophet shall die. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of it. Of course, we know this scripture is talking no one else than Jesus Christ. And it says here very clearly, if a prophet, there is going to be a prophet who is going to come in the future. And if that prophet, when he speaks and if those things doesn't come to pass, that prophet is a false prophet. He needs to be killed by stone. That was it. And we know in the Old Testament there are over 300 prophecies that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. When Muhammad came, he did not fulfill a single prophecy in the Old Testament. Not one. Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. And when the prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the major prophets and the minor prophets, when they spoke, they said, thus says the Lord. It was God speaking. And Jesus always. Islam denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We need to expose Islam in the light of the Bible. As the Bible is older than the Quran. Right? So the new revelation should be tested in the light of the older book, not vice versa. The Bible is the oldest, Quran is new. So we cannot test the Bible from the Quran, because Quran is new. The oldest is always the correct one. Now, according to Quran, they don't believe that Jesus was crucified. But turn with me to Psalm 22:16. It says here, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet. Wow. I can count all my bones, they look and stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What a scripture. Turn to Matthew 27:35. the fulfillment. Matthew 27, crucified him, divided his garments, cast in lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Wow. See that? Now, of course, the psalmist is talking way before Jesus was even born. And in the Old Testament, it's very clear in this psalm, it says here, for dogs have surrounded me. For dogs, of course, here wicked men who are compared to dogs. And death in the Old Testament is what? I mean, in the Old Testament, usually it's talking about stoning to death, right? Old Testament never talks about crucifixion, but the crucifixion was invented in the New Testament during the Roman time. And here, in the book of Psalms, it talks about piercing. And here, this is one of the prophecies that very clearly talks about the crucifixion. Jesus, after the crucifixion, appeared to the disciples. And the disciples thought he was a ghost or a spirit. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 24:39. Luke 24:39. Psalms, it says, they pierce my hands and my feet, right? Now remembering that, they pierce my hands and my feet, turn to Luke chapter 24:39. Here, Jesus, after the resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and said, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Amazing. Behold my hands and feet, it is I myself. Showing he is the one who was crucified and he is the one who rose from the dead. And of course, the Islam religion doesn't believe in the resurrection, bodily resurrection. But Christianity is very clear. Read the chapter of Isaiah 53. It is talking like a reporter who was, you know, in the Old Testament, seeing exactly what happened, talking about the Messiah's crucifixion. Now also, so Islam denies Jesus, his crucifixion, denies the deity of Jesus Christ, saying he is not God, he is a prophet, and denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And according to Islam, salvation, how can you get saved? By good works. Sometimes I wonder, what kind of good works is killing somebody and murdering somebody if they don't believe? Is that good works? That doesn't make sense, right? But the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. Islam says the only way to make to heaven according to a Muslim is to die in jihad, means die in the holy war. The only way that you can go to heaven is to die in a holy war, according to Islam. No wonder all these terrorists are very radical Muslims. And these are the people who are truly believes in the Quran and trust in the Quran. It's just like today, we call ourselves who are born again Christians, who really study the Bible, who trust in the Bible, okay, we are true Christians. Now, according to Muslim religion, the true Muslims are the people who are like the people who want to have a jihad. They are the true Muslims. The other people who are very peaceful Muslims, they don't really study the Quran. They don't care. But they are more traditionally, they will go to their mosque and pray and so forth. That's why Bin Laden, he teaches what the Quran says. He's a philosopher. And also, that's why he engaged this. That's why so many people who are brainwashed, and he shows in the Quran, this is what it says. So people are, you know, convinced what the Quran says. That's why they want to kill people. And they hate the Americans. So the Islam says the only way you can go to heaven is to die in the jihad, in a holy war. Of course, the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says the only way you can go to heaven, John 3:15 says that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 says, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. 1 John 5:20 says, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
So there's a great deception of Islam.
Now also, the Quran claims divine authorship and inspiration. It claims divine authorship and inspiration. The Muslims say Muhammad did not do any miracles. And they say Muhammad did not do any miracles. The greatest miracle that happened in Islam is the Quran. That's what they say. Why? The Quran is written in its original language. So, if Quran is written in its original language, how can an English-speaking person read the Quran to see whether it is right or wrong? It is not supposed to be translated to any language. It is not the Quran, but the Bible is the Word of God.
Psalm 119:89.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Says here, your word is settled in heaven. You don't need any more. It is already settled in heaven. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Isaiah 38. I'm going to give just short scriptures. There are a lot of scriptures. Isaiah 38. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. That means the Word of God is going to be forever and ever. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. I'm showing, not through the New Testament, but through the Old Testament, just to show that the Word of God stands forever. Well, what does Islam have to say with women in the Quran? Do you know when you heard the stories in Afghanistan, the Taliban regime, the people of Taliban, the very strict people who strictly studied the Quran. So when they strictly studied the Quran and they submitted to the Quran, they saw scriptures about women. That's why the people, let me give a quotation of the Quran about women. Good women are obedient. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, admonish them and send them to their beds apart and beat them up. So, the woman is not going to hear you. Says here, first admonish them, and if they don't obey, beat them up. That's what the Quran says. Then if they obey you, take no further action against them. No wonder the people in the Taliban reign, the women were cowered, were beaten up, and you know, and they were treated like slaves by the men. I'll tell you. What Christianity is Christianity in Jesus is, you know, for the first time brought freedom to women. There's no female or male. We are all one in Jew or slave, male or free man. All one in Christ Jesus. In Christianity, Jesus brought relief and freedom to women. Imagine how the women, they were like treated even in the old time in history. Women were treated differently. But Jesus allowed women to come and listen. Jesus allowed women to be part of His ministry. As when Jesus went and preached the gospel, there were some women who were helping in the ministry, cooking food and so forth like that, taking care of Jesus. And remember the story of Mary and Martha and all the other scriptures. Women were given liberation. And here in the Quran is totally different. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. Don't beat them up. Right? The
Bible never tells to beat your woman up. It says to love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says, Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. But the Quran says, if you don't listen to them, you beat them up. See the difference of Christianity and the Quran. How many people are saying, you know what? I don't care. But all religions at the end, they are the same. It doesn't matter what you believe and what Christianity believes in the Bible, what Islam believes in the Quran, or what the Hindus believe in the Vedas, or what the Buddhists believe in Buddha. It doesn't matter. Because it's all religions, at the end, if you do good, they'll go to heaven. Have you heard that? It's very common, isn't it? But let me tell you. Of course, when you take all the major religions of the world, like Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity, they don't agree with each other. When it comes to the most important central issues, the most important issues, they disagree vigorously. When I talk about most important issues, I'm talking about salvation. It's the most important issue of life, isn't it? When I talk of salvation, when I talk about salvation, Christianity and Islam is like black and white. How can they agree? Christianity says the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Nobody can come to the Father except through me, Jesus said. No one. Other religions say, well, you can go through Muhammad, through Buddha. Now, who is telling the truth? Either Jesus is lying, or Muhammad is true, or Buddha is true, or Hinduism is true. None of them gave their lives as a sacrifice and demonstrated its love on the cross except Jesus Christ. And so how can it be that all religions are the same? It is a lie from hell. Jesus is telling the truth and all the others are liars. And when it comes to the most central issues, you can see like salvation, like the deity of Christ. In the all the other religions, their system is in front. Okay, their belief system is in front, and the founder is at the background behind. All right, in Christianity, it's just the opposite. In Christianity, the founder or Jesus Christ is in the forefront. That is, he is the center of the Bible. It's different. That's why we see in Christianity, in this book, the Word of God, it is all the prophecies in the Old Testament. You know, so many hundreds and hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. And it is the only religion that can change the nature of a person. Okay, changing the nature of a person. The Bible says that we are all corrupt. Since we are born, we are corrupt in nature. Charles Spurgeon talks about the nature of the lion. And I forgot the other animal. Probably the change of the nature of a lion and the sheep. The lion eats meat. The sheep eat grass. You cannot change their nature. You cannot tell the lamb to eat meat and the lion to eat grass. You cannot change. It's impossible. In the same way, we all have a corrupt nature. Only in Christianity, God, who came down from heaven through Jesus Christ, he brought eternal life those who repent. And the Holy Spirit can change that nature of an evil man into a saint. That same person who was a murderer, a drug addict, or a thief, or who has been so corrupt person, can be changed into a different person. That is what is called regeneration or born again. You are changed. Christianity changes the inward nature of the corrupt man into a saint. Islam cannot do that. In Islam, you will see violence, murder. Islam, you see, they're killing each other. And that is what we see in Islam. So there's a great, vast difference between Christianity and Islam. They are not the same. Absolutely not. They're like black and white. Only Christianity can bring salvation through Jesus Christ. And Islam can take you to hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that those who listen to this tape, Lord, in this fellowship or in other parts of the world, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would convict them of their sins. And if they have been fallen to the religion of Islam, we pray, Lord, that you would bring them from darkness to the light of Christ. Of course, we know Islam believes in one God. The Bible believes in one God. But the God of the Bible is not the God of Islam. Because the God of the Bible is truly being showed through scripture. That is the word of God in the Bible. That is the God of the Bible. God of Christianity is found in God of the Bible, in the Bible. So we pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would bring people who are lost from darkness to the light of Christ, Lord, through the word of God, that you will be exalted. And God, the true God, can be found only through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Christ. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you will bring salvation to many who have been deceived by the religion of Islam. That you will be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.